Jesus has already won. Praise God. I want to turn this morning to the 7th chapter of Leviticus. Leviticus 2. And let us begin reading with verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. I want to speak this morning on true thanksgiving. As we find here, this is a part of the peace offering. Verse 12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil. It is the true thanksgiving I want to speak on today, because there came a time when God could no longer and would no longer accept such offerings as are outlined here. That, of course, was because of the attitude of Israel, as we shall see here in just a little while. But there is a true thanksgiving. There is a true offering that we give unto the Lord. And the first thing I want to see about that true thanksgiving is that it requires sacrifice. We are told here in verse 11, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And then in verse 12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And David understood what that meant. It means that there is often a cost that is attached to offering such an offering as this. We'll not turn there, but the story is found in 2 Samuel 24. There was a time when God had brought a plague against Israel due to their own disobedience and their rebellion. Then David was instructed as to how to stop that plague. He was to offer an offering unto the Lord. And there was a man by the name of Araunah, evidently a very rich man, and a man who truly respected David and honored him. And he told him, I will give you the threshing floor, and I'll give you the oxen, the fatlings. I'll give you all of these instruments and the wood for offering, just completely free of charge unto you to offer unto the Lord. But David said, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, indeed the same type of offering that we are talking about here this morning. But David says, I will not offer anything unto the Lord of that which doth cost me nothing. And so there is a price to pay for offering such a true thanksgiving offering unto the Lord. Second thing I want to notice is that all of these Levitical offerings began with great significance. God ordained them, and there are four blood offerings, and then there is the meal offering, which is actually an appendage to these other offerings and speaks beautifully of the very humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. God honored these things because they were, all of them, representative of Jesus himself. And I want to notice a little bit about that here in verse 12. As we find, he shall offer with the sacrifice and thanksgiving unleavened cakes. When we see unleavened in Scripture, it tells us of that which is without evil practice or doctrine. That is fulfilled only in Christ Jesus. And that's what's typified here. This is the only offering that God has ever accepted. It is that which is Christ, that which teaches Christ, which surrounds Christ. And so these unleavened cakes, first of all, they were mingled with oil. Tells us of Jesus born of the Spirit. We know that to be true because the power of the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and implanted that holy thing within her womb. And so he was indeed mingled with oil. Then we find anointed with oil. This is what happened to Jesus before he began his earthly ministry. His ministry as a man, he was anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost there on the banks of the River Jordan. And then you will notice it was with fine flour fried. It means the suffering of Christ that he endured as he became a man in order indeed to minister unto us. But I want to notice another little feature here of this particular Thanksgiving offering because it affects us in such a marvelous way. Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread. The leavened bread speaks of us. But you will notice these cakes had to have been baked. As a matter of fact, if you read the offering of the first fruits, I believe it's in the Leviticus 26, they brought two wave loaves and they were baked with leaven. It tells us of our lives. We had leaven. We were born with it. But God baked it, so to speak. He brought the heat to it, and that stops the operation of the leaven. It doesn't rise anymore. And this is exactly what God did in our lives. He found a way to destroy the flesh, and it was, of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ as he was literally baked there on the cross of Calvary. And so this is also included, as we find here, in this particular Thanksgiving offering. All of this is part of giving thanks unto the Lord. But I want to notice, as I intimated earlier, there came a day when God could no longer accept these offerings. As wonderful as they were, the wonderful truth that they represented, and God expected these things to be carried out. But there came a day when Israel was really only going through the motions. We find that God said in relation to Christ in Psalm 40, you remember the verses well, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sacrifice hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. We have seen it over and over and over again that those sacrifices of the Old Testament could never take away sin. And there came a time when God was simply no longer satisfied. They could not meet the need. They only typified Christ. And so he had to come. As we read here, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus came to fulfill all of those types and shadows, and he did that there at the cross of Calvary. If you also read Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 66, it is a record of the fact that there came a time when God actually refused the offerings that we're talking about here. not because there was anything wrong with the design of them or the offering of them. It was because of the rebellion of Israel. God actually says in those places, He was actually repulsed by their offering of them. So they did not satisfy Him. They did not want them offered any more. I want to turn this morning to find out that David understood this on a personal level in Psalm 69. This is again one of those wonderful messianic psalms. It applies directly unto Christ, but as we have seen in so many of these psalms, they were written around David's own experience. We're not told what that experience was at this particular time, but in Psalm 69, we read these words concerning David. Verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Verse 31. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. And so David came to that place where he realized in his own personal life that these offerings, again I say, as wonderful as they were, and they were indeed ordained of God, he expected them, he delighted them at the first, but David discovered in his own experience that this is not what God really wanted from him. He couldn't just go through the motions of offering such an offering here. God wanted something else. And so he said, this also in verse 31 shall please the Lord more than this ox or bullock with horns and hoofs. Verse 30 again, I will praise the name of God with a song. This is what pleased God. This is the offering. This is the thanksgiving David discovered that God was actually looking for. But I want to notice the story behind that. There was a certain attitude that produced this song. David, again, was not just going through the motions and repeating words, so to speak. And this is what we find in our lives today, is that God is interested in more than just ritual, routine, ceremony. God is interested in something that is prompted deep within the heart. Back up to verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Thanksgiving must come out of deep experience. I said a little while ago that real thanksgiving has a cost attached to it. And David found that cost. We're going to see a little bit more about it. But here he said, I am poor. And this is something that every one of us indeed must discover in our own lives, because the word poor means lowly, it means humble, it means needy. It is to be contrasted with the rich. Jesus did that in the New Testament, and we see it throughout the Scripture, how that the rich are in such a state, God can do nothing for them. They don't have any need. We find the rich represents those who are independent. They are self-sufficient. God cannot bless such an attitude. God ministers to the humble. He gives His grace to the humble, but resists the proud. And as we have seen again and again, it is not a matter of a person saying, well, I am humble, I feel humbled, I have been humbled. It is a matter, the actuality of humility will give God the very measure He needs, the opening, the door that He needs in order to pour out His abundant and glorious grace. We are not told here what David had gone through when he experienced this, when he said, I am poor. We're quite sure he's not talking about that his bank account or anything like that. We look at the poor in spirit. And the poor in spirit are those people that constantly recognize that they are in need of the grace of God. And it's not just a cliche with them. They honestly feel that way and understand that these are the people that are able to give thanks. You know, there are people today that you give them something, and we have done that again and again to different people, and we will continue to minister as we are able to do. But you know, we have given gifts unto people, and they've never even acknowledged that they even got it. Never even a thank you or anything of that nature. And we have spoken before on the fact that if that is true, then either people have the attitude, well, I didn't need it in the first place, or else you owed it to me regardless. And both those attitudes are absolutely wrong. Carry those attitudes over before the Lord. If we are not of a thankful heart, if we are not filled with thanksgiving, either we didn't see our need, or else we look to the Lord and say, well, you owed it to me anyway. That is a horrible attitude to have. And so when David says, I am poor, and indeed, as he says here again in verse 29, I am sorrowful, it means that David went through some kind of pain and grief in order to get here. But it had a good effect on him. It put him in that place where he truly had a grateful heart. He knew that God had given him this and ministered to him. And that is when we are able to render up genuine thanksgiving unto the Lord. That's the kind of thanksgiving that God will appreciate more than bullock with horns and hooves. He appreciates a heart that is filled with divine love for himself and so grateful for his glorious and majestic grace. This is what God is wanting to do in our lives. And so I am poor and sorrowful. And then he says, let thy salvation, O God. Notice thy salvation. It means only God can supply it. This is where we must be in our lives. We come to that place and realize what I have, only God could give. There are people who think, I can make my own way. God gave me strength, but it's up to me to go out there and pull myself up by my own bootstraps. That really isn't the truth. Yes, God gave us the breath that we have, but I'm telling you, without the grace of God, there is no way we can walk anywhere even with that breath. God must be the one that we look to in every area and phase of our lives, and we must constantly have this attitude of thanksgiving before the Lord. And again, it is God who evaluates that attitude in our own lives. And so it was with David here. As he said, let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. He is praying, crying out for God's salvation because he indeed is needy. Jonah discovered exactly the same thing in the belly of the whale when he said, salvation is of the Lord. That is a lesson we must learn by bitter and deep experience sometimes. And there are times that only God knows whether or not we have learned it. Notice verse 32. The humble shall see this and be glad. When a person is truly humbled before the Lord, they are glad to see that God gets the glory, that God is honored, and they render that thanksgiving unto him. The humble shall see this and be glad. Your heart shall live that seek God. This is why that God did it this way. in order that men seek him and magnify him. Let us turn back to Psalm 51. We are given here a reason, or the manner, the way in which David learned what God wanted. Psalm 51 and verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Again, the same thing. He's talking about sacrifices with bulls, with horns and hoofs and things of this nature. David found out God wanted something else. You can give him all of the material things that you want to and buy yourself off, as we would say, with all of that. But that's not really what God wants. Not at this point. As we see here, you will notice verse 16 again. Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. If that's what you wanted, David said, I would be glad to give that. But that's not what you want. You don't even delight in burnt offering. Verse 17. Here's what David discovered. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God is still looking for that same thing in our lives today. Now we know in David's case that his heart was broken because of this situation surrounding Bathsheba. David had committed adultery. David had committed murder. And then he tried to cover that up, but God would not allow him to do that. It was about a year, as I understand it, from the time all of this happened until God sent Nathan to David and faced him with his sin. And David immediately fell on his face before the Lord in repentance. And this is what God was looking for here. The sacrifices of God. And so, yes, it did cost David his pride and whatever other things we might say. It cost him a whole lot more with that year of unrepentance in his life. But we find here the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. I don't know what things, what experiences we might have to go through in order for God to bring us to the place of brokenness that he's looking for. We cannot look on the lives of other people and judge such things. It is our own personal lives that we must be interested in, that we have this broken spirit before God. A broken and a contrite heart. The same message that we saw in Psalm 69, where that we see ourselves, recognize ourselves, and we actually are those who are poor and needy, and indeed are crying out unto the Lord that he indeed might pour out his blessings upon us. So the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken, a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. David found out that if he's in a condition like this, then God is ever open to his cry. And then I want to notice just a little bit about the result of having such an attitude, such a heart as David describes here. Verse 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. We know that this has a glorious prophetic ring to it that Israel is yet to experience, but I want to see it in our own lives. When we are of such a broken and a contrite spirit, when we are offering these sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord that he wants, then in verse 18, the result of that, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. They're the walls of protection. And it is to our own advantage when we are of such an attitude, a contrite and a broken spirit before God, He will then build up the walls of protection around us and indeed encase us unto Himself. What a wonderful place to which God has brought us. I want to close with Hebrews 13, where these things are beautifully summed up. Hebrews 13. Paul was writing to the Hebrew Christians. We've seen this again many, many times before. He wanted to change their minds, change their hearts, change their ideas concerning those Old Testament offerings. He wanted to bring them into the realities which are in Christ Jesus. And so we read here in Hebrews 13, verse 15, by Him, therefore, there is no sacrifice, there is no thanksgiving that God will accept unless it surrounds the Lord Jesus Christ. By Him means that we come indeed with that new man, this new Christ that has been planted within us. We have had some messages on being in Christ and Christ being in us. And this is what God wants to see shining forth in my life today is the very life of Christ. It is Jesus who is being offered. It is Jesus who is coming with such a heart of thanksgiving. And so, as we read here, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And this becomes very important unto us because it's not just a matter of thanksgiving for some particular thing, but indeed a heart of thanksgiving continually unto the Lord. We're still talking about these sacrifices of a broken spirit and a contrite heart before God. So now let us offer continually the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Then verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. I want to notice the order of these two verses. And the first part of it is that we must honor God first. That's the way it has been throughout the Scripture. We honor God first. We give Him that place first. Praise unto God continually. And then Paul adds here in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate. That means that we give unto others. To communicate simply means to share of our substance, which is used many times in Scripture. And so we are to give unto others of those things which God has given unto us. That is a part of our thanksgiving. God has blessed us in such a manner, we would indeed pass that bounty on to other people. It's as scriptural as it can be, but God must get His part first. And so this is what God is wanting in our lives. Insofar as thanksgiving is concerned, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, honoring Him for His matchless grace and His power in our lives. And then again, we are free to share that same glorious bounty with others that they might glorify God in exactly the same